Welcome to Ask and It Is Given. For almost 20 years, Esther and Jerry Hicks have brought forward the evolved consciousness collectively known as Abraham to audiences worldwide. These energies speak through Esther as they answer questions and offer teachings from their non-physical perspective. In the next hour, you'll hear Esther Hicks and Abraham explain many powerful laws of the universe and answer questions from audience members. Today's show is recorded in Chicago, Illinois, in 2001.
Good morning. We are extremely pleased that you are here. It is good to come together for the purpose of co-creating. Do you agree? You're knowing what you're wanting? More clearly than usual. You are appreciating the contrast of your time and place. Harder to gleefully answer yes to that than usual, isn't it? Because for some time, as we say, are you appreciating the contrast of your time and place? And you individually look to the details of your life experience. Some of you are softly saying, no, not really, Abraham, but I get the idea of what you mean. And some of you are loudly saying, no, Abraham, I am not appreciating the contrast of my time and place. And there is a sort of collective no that is resounding from this physical time-space reality at this time, because physical humans, while without exception, you want to feel good, and without exception, you want to connect with source energy. Still, even those of you who have for some time been practicing the science of deliberate creation, and other bodies of work like it, still, most of you have strong, knee-jerk, vibrational responses to what you see happening around you. It is natural. Some of you have been listening to us for some time, and you know that the contrast that prevails and has always prevailed and will always prevail. In other words, contrast is not going to go away, because there will always be those who are ideologically different. So as you remember that in every moment of contrast, there is a stimulation of powerful desire within human consciousness. And that desire shoots out like rockets, vibrational rockets, and that every desire that is emitted is answered. So there is a case to be made, and we intend to make it today, for the profound surge in request that is being made at this time. And knowing what we know about how those requests are always answered, we are here to say to you that you are the fortunate creators on the leading edge of thought who today have access to the strongest surge of answering source energy that we have ever witnessed in your time-space reality. There has never been globally more request. And since every request is being answered, these are good times, friends. Now, as you stand still in the shadow of your rubble, it's hard for you to be among those who allow that powerful surge of creative energy, although it is our expectation that you will find your balance soon and you will begin allowing. We noticed that the beasts of your planet are in the state of allowing anyway. We noticed that the predominant vibration of your planet is staggeringly allowing the well-being that is profoundly asked and answered. Now, are you getting what we mean about that? Are you understanding that when you ask, without exception, it is always answered? And that the asking that we're talking about is not necessarily, it can be, but it is not necessarily the words that you formulate with your mouth. It is the desire that comes forth from within you. And have you heard us say before, if not, hear it now, that the majority of desire that is ever requested by anyone, whether it is a physical human or a cell in one of your bodies, any particle of consciousness, the majority of asking takes place from a strong imbalance, usually upheaval of contrast. And so what we are wanting to say to you as we are beginning here, we're eager to talk with you about anything you want to talk about here today. Nothing out of the ordinary has happened in terms of planetary well-being, in terms of the laws of the universe. What has certainly happened to you, we can feel it profoundly from the vibrations that you are emitting even here in this small space, is a more pointed than ever desire. Desire for your own well-being, desire for the well-being of others, desire to continue to live happily ever after, the desire to reclaim the balance of your experience, desire to return to your natural state of well-being, desire for understanding, perhaps. There are all kinds of desires that are coming forth from within you. The basis that we want to begin with is that sometimes in the aftermath of some worldwide event where millions upon millions upon millions are setting forth desires, questions, we want to help you to realize that even when there is a singular event that has you all similarly, singularly focused, it is not different than every day as you are moving through your day-to-day experiences, setting forth requests. In fact, we want so much for you to hear that the only difference in a time like this is that more disallow the answer than under normal circumstances. More disallow the well-being that is predominant in this time-space reality than usual. And therefore, more experience, more negative emotion than usual. In terms of your personal well-being, nothing has changed, except for a while, you may not let it in as actively as you have been. We are eager to talk with you about anything that is important. There is a slim possibility that there may even be personal issues that you want to discuss. There is no order of business here, meaning there is nothing that is off limits or inappropriate. It is our desire to assist you in reclaiming your connection to who you really are and reestablishing that bright twinkle that comes forth from within you on most days, and to assist you in understanding that all really is well, while there are many who would argue to the contrary of that. Certainly beneficial to take broader view in a situation like this. And we know we have that advantage over you. Our view is broader, and our knowledge of well-being is powerful. So we stand in a place of utter well-being, ready and willing to inspire you to same if you choose it. Good. Now, is there anything you want to talk about, or does that pretty much do it? Let us begin right here, then here.
Hi, Abraham. I'm really glad you picked me. I've been thinking about this question for the last probably 10 days or 11 days. And this has to do with the world crisis. And I have been looking around and seeing, trying to see things that have good things that have come out of this. And I've seen the patriotism and the signs, you know, God bless America. And I've seen people actually being significantly more friendly to everybody. And I think those are great things that have come out of this. But there's still a lot of things that I don't understand. And one of those is, you know, we'll just talk about the World Trade Centers and why those people were targeted. And even if I believe that they are a positive stream of energy and that life goes on and that we shouldn't be attached to our physical bodies and that life goes on, how do you...
She's trying to give us all of the answers that she knows we'll give back to her.
Okay, well, okay, I'm trying to get, yeah.
They're very well done.
But what I don't understand is then you look at the families and how, like if it was me and I lost family members there, well, you know, you'd like to look and say, you know, those people are moving on. It's still so hard for these families. How do you, is it the families that were negative or is it the people that were in the towers that were so negative that they were targeted? That's what I don't understand.
Well, we're going to answer this question for you fully. But before we do, we want to lay a little bit of basis here. And we want to ask you a question or two. And we are in no way wanting to appear insensitive to the dramatic events that you are talking about. But for just a moment, when you said, what were your opening words?
I think that
I want to talk about
the world crisis.
We almost said to you, to which world crises are you referring?
Okay.
Because this is a recent one, and this is a big one. And it is a source of much pain and anguish for many. Do you think that someone whose husband or daughter was in one of those buildings is suffering more than someone whose dear one was killed in traffic today? Or
actually, I do, and I'll tell you why.
Yes.
Because I think that because of the way it happened, I think people feel their security, which we've never had to deal with in the United States.
But that's now you're on another topic. In other words, we're first just wanting to address the topic that you brought forth, which was
the
sadness of a large number of people who are affected by the specific deaths that took place in that tragedy. And the thing that we're wanting to help you to isolate just a little bit is that physical humans are not coping well with death at all, even though death happens all around you every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to replace statistics to you. You have enough people that are doing that for you. But there are all kinds of things that are happening to all kinds of people, and all kinds of people in their lives' experiences are having to find ways of coping with that. And so as far as addressing that issue, do we really need to, or is it enough to say, relative to the subject of unexpected death, that nobody likes it?
Yeah, I would say that's acceptable.
So now let's move on to the other thing that you're talking about. Bring it to us.
Why were those people targeted? How could there be so many people in one place? Was it them having negative thoughts that attracted them to this, or could people still be very positive and still have this whole thing happen?
Well,
and I think I'm talking about the physical person that was in the tower.
We will say to you powerfully, you've heard it before, but we will say it and apply it specifically to this. Nothing ever happens to any experience that is outside of law of attraction ever, 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 ever. And the conclusion that many jump to when they hear us say something like this, because of their hang-ups about the subject of death and their determination to always make it a bad thing, mm-hmm. is that, therefore, these people must have been disconnected without exception and in a very bad way disconnected, and therefore they attracted this particular experience to them. And we would say, because death is not the terrible thing that all physical beings make it out to be, it is not that way. And you also have to factor in an understanding that there are actually physical beings that are making decisions from broader perspective and even human physical perspective to, in other words, when you think about the subject of death, almost everyone in human form who approaches it believes that the idea of going toward death must have meant the resisting of well-being. And when you think about the opposite of resisting of well-being is the allowing of utter well-being. And when you think about what death is, it is the allowance of utter well-being. So you have to realize that there are all kinds of things. If you could sit and visit with each and every one of those physical beings who made their transition during that time, you would find thousands of different balances of intentions within that. And we would say to you, without exception, every one of them is exactly right. Now, you're already beginning to hear all kinds of stories. Someone said in one of the interviews that was passing over the airwaves, if there were how many people potentially in those two buildings, what are the numbers?
50,000
people. Mm-hmm. Now, this happened on a Tuesday morning in the middle of what would be mm-hmm. business time. Mm-hmm. And even when you are looking at those percentages, many of the people that by all rights should have been there weren't. Would you agree
right.
to that?
And people walked out that were on the 101st floor. So, I mean, you know, it's amazing how...
And so rather than trying to find reason, which would take a tremendous amount of surveying in order to satisfy your question, mm-hmm. accept, if you want to, that law of attraction is always sorting those things out. Now, when you say, why was this building targeted? We would say to you...
I wouldn't say the building. I would say, why were those people? I mean, they physically all were in that building, but I...
Well, that is why we are giving a little different terminology.
Okay.
We would say, why was the building targeted?
Okay.
Because it was the building that was targeted, not the people, because it is representing world trade. In other words, even the babies are saying... That is not a hard thing to figure out.
Okay.
In other words, it was a symbol of your economic prowess. And so...
So it wasn't the people in the building attracting...
Let us ask you another question just to sort of get this into some sort of perspective. Has this particular location been targeted before? Yes. And so do you believe that there was any understanding about the vulnerability of such a building?
Mm-hmm.
And do you believe that those who were participating within the building had any conscious awareness of that? And do you believe that any of them made any decisions around that?
Mm-hmm.
And do you believe that any of them could have found vibrational harmony with more of that even as a result of being there? In other words, and so it's like sometimes a person will say to us, well, I fell and broke my foot, and it was so annoying to me. And then, wouldn't you know, before it even got better, I fell and broke my other foot, and then I broke my elbow, and then I... And they say, why are these things happening? And we say, well, the first one happened in response to a vibration that was within you that you weren't recognizing, but after you had that first broken foot, and you walked around all day feeling the trauma of that first broken foot, then it's not so hard to understand how the second one came and the third one came. And so, not wanting to be light about the tragedy, although we would recommend that all of you try to lighten up about it, mm-hmm. that is a similar thing that happened there. In other words, the emitting of the vibration around it.
Now, would you say in moving forward, I know a lot of us are, you know, everyone's expecting retaliation. Is it better for us to, it's almost like your roadkill example where, you know, you see the dog on the street, and if you just drive by it, it doesn't affect you. But if you stop and look, it can affect you.
Well, we would withdraw our attention from
it. But this is like seeing 1,000 dogs on the street. I mean, it's just right, it's in front of everyone's face. And
it's very big.
It's so hard.
It is very big. And as we said earlier, we recognize that it is not the easiest time. In fact, it may be the hardest time for you to try to reach for thoughts that feel better. And yet, it is always the remedy.
So just try to ignore it as much as you can.
When you talk about the retaliation, and we can feel many are wholeheartedly in support of it. There are those that sort of worry about it. Actually, the bombing of the towers in itself was an absolute retaliation. Mm-hmm. And so that was a retaliation, and now you'll offer a retaliation, and then someone will offer a retaliation. And we're not wanting you to feel any trauma over that. In other words, let's put this into perspective. It has always been this way. In other words, you see it in the most personal of experiences. In other words, bring us around to the specifics of your question, because there are endless directions that we could go with this. Specifically now?
How do we... What I think I'm trying to do is trying to find some more positive thoughts that I can think about.
What we're offering here may feel like some sort of negative stirrings in order to bring you some perspective about all. But we believe ultimately, as you listen here for a moment, your sense of well-being will come more dramatically into place. Very often, we've talked about this endlessly, physical beings say to us, if I had better conditions, I would feel better. And we do not disagree with that. But we have to say to you, as we feel the vibration that is being emitted from human consciousness, now hear this, it's going to help you. It's going to surprise you, but it's going to help you. The negative emitting that is happening today is not greater than the negative emitting that was happening on September the 10th. It's just about different subjects.
Okay.
You get in a sense, in other words, you say, oh, but this is such a big event, and all of us are pushing very hard against it. And we say, and before that, you were pushing against your neighbor, or you were pushing against your lover. And now you say, oh, we're all being very nice to each other. And we say, don't worry, it won't last. In other words, until you come to understand about allowing... Uh-huh. Those of you who are allowing will allow well-being under all conditions, and those of you who are not allowing are not and there is much more, there is much more pain being experienced by those of you who are watching the television and trying to replay and relive the grief than those who experienced it, you see. Now we're back around to those who have been personally touched by families, and certainly we are not saying to you that we are delighted that this has happened. It is not a good thing that it has happened, but it does not need to be the end of your civilization as you know it, nor would it be, or could it be. Nor does it need to be the end of your economic experience, nor will it be. Nor does it need to be the end of your joyful personal experience. Mm-hmm. And so now let's bring that back around. So here I am as a physical human being, and I say, I would feel much better if these conditions had not happened. And we say, we don't doubt that, but do not use those conditions as your excuse now to not allow yourself to return to joy. Mm-hmm. And there are many who are really on the bandwagon, in other words, of wanting to make this something, and many of them have good reasons, and we would not argue with any of the reasons. We would just say, it must be an individual choice for you whether you participate within it or not. Okay. You'll hear more. Give us something more. We have another minute or two.
And what about Bin Laden? I'm okay with people believing different things, and you know. But when it comes to, I don't even know how to ask this question.
Well, let's save it. When we come back from segment of refreshment, we'll begin with you.
Okay.
And we'll talk about that. And we'll put it into the perspective of regaining your well-being. That is the most significant part of all of this. Good time for a segment of refreshment. We are.
with us for more of Ask and It Is Given, a live lecture brought through Esther Hicks from the evolved consciousness collectively known as Abraham. To learn more about Esther Hicks and Abraham, visit hayhouse.com.
Thanks for listening to HayHouseRadio.com.
You're invited to join five Hay House authors on an Eastern Caribbean health and healing cruise November 10th through the 17th. Sail away with Crystal Andrus, Peggy McCall, Dr. Darren Weissman, and medical intuitives Carol Reitberger and Caroline Sutherland on this Caribbean adventure in health and healing. Visit www.reitberger.com, R-I-T-B-E-R-G-E-R.com for more information or for online registration.
Do you let your thoughts dictate your experiences? Renowned inspirational teachers Dr. Wayne Dyer and Byron Katie will help you transform your thinking in their new audio program, Making Your Thoughts Work for You. On this 4-CD set, you'll learn how to question your thoughts and let them empower your life with joy. Let Wayne Dyer and Byron Katie show you the way. Order this 4-CD set now at drwaynedyer.com.
I'm Summer McStravick, the network director of HayHouseRadio.com, and my goal has been to offer you a different kind of talk radio, to give you shows to make you feel good, feel inspired, and give you tools to live a better life. We share your pursuit of self-empowerment and self-development here, whether you want to enhance your spirituality or discover new perspectives about life. So thank you for joining us.
Join Louise Hay, Wayne Dyer, Sylvia Brown, Doreen Virtue, Dr. Deepak Chopra, Dr. Christiane Northrup, and your favorite authors in one of the most exciting cities in the world, Las Vegas. It's the empowering I Can Do It Weekend Conference on May 17th through 20th at the Sands Expo. Tickets start at only $75. Call 800-654-5126 or visit www.icandoit.net.
See vibrational healer and psychic Sonia Choquette live in a city near you. In her new Soul Lessons and Soul Purpose 2007 tour, Sonia will teach you the basic soul lessons and help you master certain teachings in order to fulfill your soul purpose. Taking this path will open the way for you to begin living as a joyful, free being. Release yourself and the world from negative energy today. Plus, Sonia will be available to answer your questions and sign autographs. Call now, 800-654-5126 or visit hayhouse.com.
This HayHouseRadio.com inspirational moment is excerpted from the audio CD, Ask and It Is Given, Part 1, The Law of Attraction by Esther and Jerry Hicks, available at HayHouse.com.
The reason you have not already gotten what you desire is because you're holding yourself in a vibrational holding pattern that does not match the vibration of your desire. That's the only reason ever. And an important thing for you to now understand is that if you will stop and think about it, or, more important, stop and feel about it, you can identify your very discord. So now, the only thing you need to do is gently and gradually, piece by piece, release your resistant thoughts, which are the only disallowing factors involved. Your increasing relief will be the indicator that you are releasing resistance, just as your feelings of increased tension, anger, frustration, and so on have been your indicators that you've been adding to your resistance. Well-being is lined up outside your door. We want to remind you of the basic premise that must be understood before any of this will make sense to you. Well-being flows. Well-being wants you. Well-being is lined up outside your door. Everything you have ever desired, whether spoken or unspoken, has been transmitted by you vibrationally. It's been heard and understood by Source and has been answered. And now you're going to feel your way into allowing yourself to receive it, one feeling at a time. You are a physical extension of Source Energy. You are an extension of Source Energy. You're standing on the leading edge of thought. Your time-space reality was set into motion through the power of thought long before it was manifested into the physical form in which you see it now. Everything in your physical environment was created from non-physical perspective by that which you call Source. And just as Source created your world and you through the power of focused thought, you are continuing to create your world from your leading-edge place in this time-space reality.
Hello, I'm Louise Hay. Congratulations, you found us. Welcome to HayHouseRadio.com, radio for your soul.
We now return to Ask and It Is Given, a live lecture from Esther Hicks as she channels a group of evolved beings collectively known as Abraham.
I recently closed my business, and I've had my own business for the last 17 years. I've done very, very well in my business whenever I've been very focused and I envisioned what I wanted. I was very clear on it, and I allowed it to manifest. And I allowed negative thoughts to enter my mind, and whenever it did, they manifested too. And recently I was in a relationship. I'm in the art business. I opened an art gallery. And the relationship I was in, my fiancé would tell me constantly, it's not going to work, it's not going to work, it's not going to work. When I know from experience that I could make it work. And so I was struggling with trying to not listen to him and making my business work, but I allowed it to go into my mind, and I finally gave in and said, okay, it's not going to work, I'm not making it, and I ended up losing a lot of money. So I recently closed my business, and I realized what had happened.
Well, you see, whether you gave in to his belief that it wouldn't work and joined him in that thought, or whether you just were irritated because he wouldn't let up.
That too.
It does not matter. In other words, when you have a dream and someone's hammering at you that it cannot be, you don't take very well to that. And so what we are getting at here is it does not matter what was the reason for your negative emotion. The negative emotion is always you're temporarily not allowing something in. But in the moment that you stop doing that, you begin letting it in again. And what we've noticed is that when something like that happens, where you really, really wanted something and you managed through influence of others or just bad thinking habits of your own, held yourself not in the place of allowing it to happen, the desire didn't go away. Just the contrast got bigger, which caused a stronger rocket of desire to be born, so that next time you get into the receiving mode, your gallery is bigger, your dream goes further. In other words, you are never, ever, no matter what happens, you are never further from the well-being than you were before. That's a really important thing. In other words, sometimes when something happens, whether it's closing your business or the World Trade Towers coming down, there is this sentiment that goes something like, oh, we have taken such a giant step backwards. And we say, you cannot take a giant step backwards. What happens when something big happens is that you take a giant step forward, because desire is born in such a powerful way, you see. The question is, can I bring myself into vibrational harmony with desire? And the answer is yes, you can.
And that's what I've been working on. And as a matter of fact, we've separated now. And I feel so much better because... Thank you. Instead, though, I went to...
Wait. So what you're saying to us is, it is necessary to rid yourself of any influence that might negatively influence you, rather than find your balance anyway?
I tried to find my balance with him, and we went to seminars, we've read spiritual books together. He's a wonderful person, but I realized that we're just two different people.
But here's the reason that we're probing here just a little bit, is that, in other words, you got rid of him.
Sort of.
And everyone's glad you did. And we are not quibbling with the action part of it at all anyway. But when you take a lot of glee about getting rid of someone, what happens is, even though they're not in your house or in your day-to-day experience, the vibration of them stays and continues to hinder you. And the only reason that we're talking about it is because you were so excited, as you said it, that you brought the audience to applause. In other words, they were all glad that you ridded yourself of this hindering thing. And do you hear the flaw in that? In other words, if your well-being depends upon your ridding yourself of the hindering thing, you're always, always going to be in turbulence and trauma, because you cannot rid yourself of those that do not agree with you, you see. What you must do is find your own center, so that, in other words, when you really know what you know, and someone who loves you is saying to you, ah, you're really wrong, and you really know what you know, They do not cause any disturbance in your vibration. You just smile at them as you would at a child who doesn't know, or at anyone who has not had the experience of what you've come to know. You just chalk it off to their lack of experience, or their lack of exposure, or their lack of understanding of your resolve, or their lack of understanding of the resources of the universe, or their lack of understanding of your ability to focus, or their lack of understanding of the law of attraction. Do not misunderstand. We are not saying that you should still be with this one. We are just saying to you, do not get into the position wherever, where you believe that you must rid yourself of those who seem to keep you from the well-being that you want, because in every moment that you are trying to rid yourself of them, you are holding yourself in a place that your well-being cannot come in. And then you miss the benefit of all of the upheaval to begin with. That was big.
Well, it was. We've separated. We're still friends, and we still talk, and I still care about him very much. However, I've moved back to...
Does he still give you a hard time about your ideas?
Not as much, no, because he's finally realized. I've actually made
because
him
Because you
listen.
Gave up?
No, he realized that he was partially... I hate to say blame. I don't want to say that. I don't want to say it. He realized how he affected me when I was trying to do what I needed to do. However, I moved back to my home. We had a loft downtown in Chicago. I moved back to my house that I own. However, I had asked my mother to move into my house because she couldn't afford to live where she was living. And now I'm with my mother. Regarding my mother, but first I want to just comment on, I knew I needed space and time for myself to refresh myself and my mind and who I was and who I wanted to be. And that was the reason for my separation. And my fiancé was aware of it and realized that there wasn't much of me left. I was mentally exhausted, and not just from him, but from myself. And I think it was more from myself because I was allowing all of the negative emotions to surface. And so I am at a point right now where, having removed myself from that, I feel very much at peace within myself. However, my mother, who is living with me and who needs to be living with me right now because she can't live on her own, revels in negativity and in misery. She is just a miserable, miserable human being. She's a beautiful woman. She has beautiful qualities. But every time she talks about anything, it is in such a negative fashion. And at first, it used to drive me crazy.
Stop for just a moment and just talk about something that doesn't matter very much to you while he adjusts the sound.
Okay. Well, I think this is a lovely space. Yeah, I think that it's beautiful outside, by the way. It's a beautiful sunny day, and it was very refreshing to go outside during the break and be out of this room, although I think it's a very positive energy in this room. And I feel very good for being here. I'm excited to be here.
We should have said that to you an hour ago. You see, that's a really interesting thing, isn't it? When we said to you, we have a greater issue here. Don't talk to us for a moment about anything that is very important to you. Just carry on with things that don't matter very much. You got very positive right away. In other words, you found things that connected you immediately to source energy. You see what we're getting at?
Yes.
And so what is it about issues that are of such great importance? It's almost like saying, well, this really matters, so it deserves my negative attention. It's like Esther sometimes, as she is rattling on about something, and she knows that she's in that mode, and she will say to Jerry, well, but it's true. As if speaking something that is true then causes the universe to say, all right, for just a moment, let's cease law of attraction, because even though she is disconnected from source energy, she is speaking truth. So let's alter the laws of the universe here for a moment. And what we are getting at here is just, it's hard to break up with your mother like you did your fiancé, isn't it? And that is sort of what we were talking about earlier. Rather than thinking in terms of breaking up with the one who seems to be the reason that you are focused in a way that is not allowing your well-being, you have to begin to discover what unconditional love is, which is, I have to be able to let this condition exist because I cannot control whether it exists or not. I have to be able to allow this condition to exist, and I have to find a way to find my place of connection anyway.
And that's where I am, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Good. We can feel your disagreement with us a little bit as we are chewing with you, because it feels to you like you are going about everything in a very precise way, and we acknowledge that. But our encouragement to you is back away from the subjects that matter most until you have proven to yourself that you can feel good just because you've chosen to feel good. In fact, we would say that to all of you. You need to remind yourself that you have the ability to feel good before you try to feel good about something that's gone very, very wrong. Until you are able to convince yourself, I have the ability to choose a thought that reconnects me with source energy, you can't even begin to reconnect yourself with source energy relative to something as hard as your mother, you see, or as hard as the recent terrorist attacks. So here's the process. This disconnects me. I try to think about the other end of that, but this end is more dominant. So when I think about this subject at all, it disconnects me. So I choose another subject that doesn't matter to me very much. And as I choose another subject that doesn't matter to me very much, I feel my vibration raising. And I'm wise enough to love the feeling of feeling better so much that I keep diverting myself from the subject that immediately takes me to a disconnected place. I just keep avoiding the subject for a while until I'm secure again and feeling better again. And then once I'm feeling better again, then I can revisit the subject if I want to from a place of greater stability and raise the vibration of that subject within me if I want to. But the first thing is to find your balance. You said this to us. You said, I felt like I needed my own space. I felt like I needed to find out who I am and what I'm all about. And so you jumped sort of out of the frying pan into the fire. You never really gave yourself a chance to find that balance. And many would say, well, shouldn't she then leave her mother in the current house? She's left the loft, and now shouldn't she leave her mother in the current house, and shouldn't she maybe move back into the loft or move someplace else where her mother is not? And we say, that's the way most physical humans go about it. They say, under these conditions, I don't feel good, so we've got to do something about adjusting those conditions. And what we would say to you is, find a way to find your connection even within those conditions. And so when your desire for connection becomes your dominant intent, the orchestration that unfolds before you leaves you feeling loved and bathed and soothed and tended to and known and nurtured. In other words, evidence is everywhere. Good, indeed. Right here.
Can you help me be a better teacher to my children?
You cannot be a better teacher to your children in the sense that you are imparting tremendous amounts of feeling tones and information to them. You're teaching, everyone is, to those close to them, whatever you are. And so when you say, can you teach me to be a better teacher, we're assuming that you mean, can you help me to help my children connect with source energy and stay there more of the time? And so then our answer is, you cannot give to another their connection unless you have your connection. And that's really what we're about here today. We want to help you to reconnect with who you are. And in doing so, your well-being will permeate to all who interact with you. There is not anything more unsettling to your children than for you to be unsettled. And when you reclaim your balance, then things smooth out for them. Now, your children, actually, when they made the decision to come forth and be with you, they said to Source Energy, can you help me be a really good teacher to my parents?
Right. You know, I have an example. My wife and I, we actually were introduced probably a month ago or 2 months ago. And we started creating want boards. And we have a 6-year-old and a 9-year-old who we try to say, what do you want? Let's, you know, visualize it. And my little one said, I want a bunny. So about 4 weeks went by, and there was an issue, and we said, well, what do you want? And she says, well, I'm not going to do that because I never got my money. So we're trying to, I guess, provide the beliefs at a very young age. And is it too early?
Not at all. The answer to that question is the game over? Is your ability to enjoy a bunny completely behind you? Was there just a very narrow bunny opportunity and we've missed it? Or is the bunny option still out there? And are you wanting to add more detail to the bunny? In other words, how big is this bunny? Do you want a baby bunny? Do you want a big bunny? Do you want a black bunny? Do you want a white bunny? What are you going to do with this bunny? Why do you want a bunny? What fun is a bunny? In other words, as you help your child to recognize that it's just taking score too soon. In other words, that is the predominant message there. Physical beings often take score too soon. Here is the thing that you're wanting to impart. You get to continually amend the vibration. As you say, I want a bunny. And so then a wild bunny just hops into the yard. But this bunny has babies off in the bushes somewhere. And your child says, well, I want to keep this bunny. And you say, but this bunny has babies off in the bushes somewhere. Wouldn't you like to let that bunny go, be with its baby bunnies? And wouldn't you rather have a different, in other words, there may be more information that is wanted to be added there. When someone says to you, I wanted something and it did not come, this is the perfect opportunity for you to say, well, sweetheart, if you've asked, I know it's been answered. So let's see if we can't figure out what's happening that's not letting it in. How do you feel about this bunny? Well, I'm sad that the bunny didn't come. Well, that's not a match to the bunny coming. Now, how do you feel about the bunny, Daddy?
Well, actually, we actually have a bunny in our yard, and it eats all my tomatoes. If it's a stuffed animal, I'm happy.
Or a bunny in a place where a bunny can be. In other words, there's plenty of garden to share if you plan ahead a little bit. And so you might explain that. You might say, well, you know, thinking about this bunny, here we are all living together, and you want a bunny, and I'm not all that sure I want a bunny, and maybe we need to talk about it until we're all lined up about the bunny. But that sounds a little bit like, oh, Daddy wins, because Daddy doesn't want the bunny. But if you have a bunny, then why is there no claim to that bunny? Isn't there a bunny? Do you have a bunny or do you not have a bunny?
I don't have a bunny. We don't have a bunny. We haven't claimed that bunny.
But there's a bunny.
But there's a bunny.
And so why is your child not acknowledging that that bunny is in response? Was the bunny there before?
Yes.
So is her amended desire is I want a different bunny? I want a bunny that Daddy doesn't hate? I want a bunny that can actually live in my yard? I want a bunny in a cage?
Yes.
And so is there resistance within you about that?
No. Although it's a creation, so I know it will happen. I know it will come into being. So it's the acknowledgement of that creation. That,
oh, you see, but this is how you are a better teacher to your child. As you say that to us, we know you know that. And so can you imagine the power that would give your child as you say, this is a creation and I know it will come to be. Can you not feel? I mean, we're talking about a bunny here, but you could apply that to anything that this child ever wants. You're saying to them with the knowing that you hold here, this is a creation, and I know it will come about, and I know it will come about in the perfect timing. And then your child says, well, what is the perfect timing? When I'm 18 and no longer living here, or in other words, they sometimes get a little, like most of you, obstinate about not getting it right now, this red hot minute when you want it. And so now, in answer to your first all-important question, how do I become a very good teacher to my child, is you help your child to understand that once the request is out there, and the answer is given that then their work must be to find vibrational harmony with it. You hear the story. We tell it often. It's a perfect response to what you're talking about here. A little boy really, really wants a gun, and his parents disapprove of the idea of the gun. And so now he is hitting Grandma for it. Grandma, will you get me a gun? And Grandma says, I'm not wanting to get in the middle of this. Oh, couldn't we just get one, and I could play with it only when I'm with you? In other words, but Grandmother says, this is between you and your parents. I'm really not going to get in the middle of this. And what she was really saying in her wisdom is, this is really between you and the universe. In other words, I will not be the crack of least resistance through which this comes, because it would cause great problems for me otherwise, but I still believe in your ability to create, was her underlying vibration. And sure enough, one day, Grandmother and this little boy are walking through the deep leaves in the woods in the fall, and he stumbles on something, and when he digs it up, it's a toy gun. And his mother could not deny it. When he returned with it, having found it under those conditions, in other words, the universe has a way of delivering in the timing, in the way that whatever you are wanting, no matter who you are, even if you are a little child that wants a bunny when mother and dad don't want a bunny, in other words, the universe can still deliver the bunny in a way that mother and father will receive it, you see. And so we would encourage more dialogue. If we were a physical parent wanting to teach our physical child how to be the deliberate creator of their own experience, we would encourage any desires that they hold, and we would root for the universe delivering them, and we would let all of our words be offered as soothers to help them to get into a vibrational place of allowing. In other words, that's what a mentor or a teacher does. That's your best work, to help whoever is asking for whatever it is to get into vibrational harmony with their own source energy so that they can let in the specifics of what they are asking for. Because most people who care about people in general think that it's their job to do all of the studying about the bunnies and all of the orchestrating about it and all the building of the cages and all of the preparing for it. And it's overwhelming when you put yourself in the place of believing that it's your job to be the facilitator for anything that somebody wants to create. You do that to each other when it is not possible for any of you to fulfill the desires of any. If you only had one person in your life and you said, I'm taking it upon myself to be the grantor as best as I can of anything this person wants, one person and their desires would overwhelm you so dramatically within a very short period of time, you'd say, I'm out of this game. And well, you should be out of this game, because the universe, God force, is the answer of all of that. But you as the teacher, in response to your powerful first question to us, your work is to soothe them into their allowing of what they are defining that they desire. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
I think I understand something, but I'd like to try in my own words to tell you my understanding and see if it's correct. Regarding feelings of well-being, it sounds like feelings of well-being are indicators as to where we are connected, and that anger, sadness, fear are indicators of when we are not connected.
Precisely.
So we can use that as an indicator to say, I am connected now, I'm not connected now.
Absolutely. The emotions that you feel are your indicator of what you are doing vibrationally.
Then my question is, if we are in the anger and the fear and we feel stuck, is the thing to do to back off, like you say, take a little mental vacation, and find something, anything to feel good about?
Yes.
So that we
yes.
can revisit?
Yes, that is the perfect remedy. And when you do, savor the relief and acknowledge, by using my mind to turn my attention somewhere else, I've allowed life force to flow back into me fully. There, this is who I am. And then, once you've regained your balance, if you want to readdress it, you certainly can. There are some who have said to us, not about this issue, but about a lot of issues over time, but Abraham, isn't that just like putting my head in the sand? If I ignore this, then am I of any good to anyone? And we say, here's what we would do. Let the circumstance help you to focalize your desire. And as soon as you can, turn your full attention to your desire and achieve vibrational harmony with it.
To learn more about Abraham, visit HayHouse.com to find the books, The Law of Attraction, and Ask and It Is Given by Jerry and Esther Hicks. You may also visit their website at abraham-hicks.com. Join us again next time for another hour of Ask and It Is Given.